Why do we engineer staying small? What tells us to not overstep or say too much or do too much? Who tells us that less is more? Shame does. Now, shame in the South Asian community is a whole different and unique ball game. When you realize what's holding you back and you look to overcome it, the freedom that comes is euphoric, and there is nothing like it until once again it finds itself back in your mental and emotional space. And the only way I have found to manage it is to, as Dr. Brené Brown says, continue to show up in the arena. This is a Life Vocabulary podcast, and I am Serena Hussein, back with weekly episodes. But since I want to reconnect with your lovely selves, I'm uploading more frequently to see you through the end of 2020 and into 2021. Now, I have visited Dr. Brené Brown's work on the podcast before, and the reception has been really positive, and I put it down to the utterly profound insight she has shared with the world. And like with all information, it is so useful to give ourselves time to sit with it and see how it really applies to our own lives. This episode revisits Brené Brown's work on shame, and I'm doing that through the lens of South Asian culture. Now, when we talk about South Asia, I'm talking about India, I'm talking about Pakistan, Afghanistan, Bangladesh. I am Punjabi from Punjab, and Punjab is a place, province, if you like, in India and Pakistan. And when the partition happened, it went right through it, as well as other areas. But anyway, so some would say they're Pakistani or they're Indian, but if they're from Punjab, then they say they're Punjabi. So when I am talking about South Asian culture, I'm talking about my experience, not just being from Pakistan or the Punjab, but from growing up in British Asian culture, being very close to South Asian culture, growing up with my mother tongue being Urdu, understanding Punjabi, and growing up with other British South Asian friends throughout my entire life. Now, Brené Brown, she talks about how we end up engineering staying small. Now, honestly, this is quite interestingly, it's a byproduct of being raised in a culture that actively engineers your smallness, that part. So rather than getting into my personal upbringing, I want to talk about the mentality within South Asian culture that not only informs how our parents raised us, but how we stifle our growth as adults, but more specifically as women. Now, cultural traditions, they dictate that you must be married, raise a family, be wealthy. It's all pretty generic, I guess, but the difference with South Asian culture is really about the freedom afforded to women. Now, let's say it's not exactly encouraged for women when they are wives or mothers to follow their own chosen career path, you know, one of their own choosing. Careers and professions are all about status, and when you don't meet the status of being married, having children, having a level of education that affords you a very well-paying profession, then you're simply less than. Going against the grain and not conforming is not only bad for you, it's bad for the family. It's called bringing shame on the family. So you are essentially shamed for not being up to par, and the disappointment that families and parents then feel is only added baggage, the wonderful stuff that leaks out of you in your adult life. I found, as Dr. Brené Brown says, is by walking through it, as in shame, and really becoming aware and intimate with it, I came to chip away at what wasn't mine to begin with. It belonged to someone else, and their insecurities and their fear of not surviving, thriving, fitting in, or keeping up with the Khans or Sharmas. I am very conscious about having empathy for those who raised us. And so this is not a blame game. But with them, we don't learn anything. We don't learn anything, we don't achieve anything. And if you don't know better, you can't do better. So rather than blaming, understanding what are the inner workings of us as individuals that contributes to us engineering smallness. Now, shame is an epidemic, and in South Asian culture, it most certainly eats away at joy, creativity, originality, and any diversity of thought or diversity of being and living as a woman. Now, for myself, empathy was the antidote. Empathy to, yes, understand and really acknowledge what drove, let's say, my own experience, what informed that, and understanding why the sort of British South Asian culture was what it was. You know, the immigrant experience and surviving rather than thriving. But then empathy for myself. I'm grateful for having listened to and read Dr. Brené Brown's work to understand the way out of shame. Vulnerability is the path to come back to yourself and then back into the arena, because shame took me out. It's one of the big reasons I even stopped creating content on my website and podcast. Shame in South Asian culture feels like there is always eyes on you and always words spoken about you. There's this constant, awful mantra in Urdu or Hindi, and it goes, Lok kya kahenge, meaning what will people think? What will they say? Now, this constant consideration of what others will think and how we will be seen is used to control and perpetuate unrealistic standards. The really frustrating thing is that regardless of how educated or wealthy people in South Asian culture become, they suffer a total lack of emotional intelligence because shame has cut them off from it unless they later seek it out. Because of shame, I stayed in my marriage for far too long. Because of shame, I didn't speak up enough. Instead, I shelved my concerns and continued with the status quo. So unlike me, I mean, I really went against who I really am. Just going with the status quo is the antithesis of who I am. But the South Asian culture uses shame to hold women back. And I'm sorry, if you are evolved and you've deconstructed all the BS, then excellent. We need you to continue to deconstruct and chip away at those in your families and communities to make them see the damage that's been done. Because shaming women for expressing themselves, not conforming and choosing for themselves, perhaps even choosing not to get married or have children, is making generations of women grow up without a sense of power or agency over their lives. It's what keeps them stuck in relationships and jobs they should have left years ago. And it's what keeps them from dreaming and desiring more. The only way for me was to show up in the arena. You know, put myself out there. And when random hate came for me from a misogynistic and controlling culture and community, I ended up engineering that smallness again, and I shrunk. Shrinking killed my spirit completely. And it damaged me in so many ways. The boldness, the get up and go-ness of how I was for a period of time when it all came under this radar, this magnifying glass, this controlling authority, it just shrunk. And to bring myself back and revive myself, it took a mix of things, and I've been there before. And this is the interesting thing about shame, is that, as I said at the start of this episode, is when you break free, the freedom is euphoric until it comes back again. So I've been on this journey, as all journeys are. They're never linear. Growth isn't linear. It's not just a straight line. You know, it's up and down. And I've had ups and I've had downs. And I've experienced this down before. So I knew the way to bring myself back and revive myself. And it took a mix of things. It took therapy. It took body work. And by body work, I mean yoga. I'm a yoga teacher, but also other forms of dance and movement, which is really nourishing, but also self-awareness practices and just showing up, you know, showing up and doing what I love. All of these things are the complete opposite of what is encouraged. I wonder how you've taken this anecdotal, if you like, episode talking about shame from the you know, perspective of being sort of British South Asian, but also taking from the wonderful, insightful work of Dr. Brené Brown. If you haven't already dug into her work, then I really encourage you to do so. She's done some incredible work around vulnerability also, and courage. And she does a lot of work with innovation and really, you know, the other side of it. When you show up, when you're vulnerable, and with courage, you come into the arena, you know, you leave shame behind, or maybe it kind of comes with you for the ride, but you overcome it. But because sometimes I feel there's not a complete severance, you know, you can't sever it, but you just carry it in a way. I don't know. It's unfortunate. I wonder if that would always be the case, that it would just always be carried, it'd always be there. But I know this for sure, that there are periods of time where when, you know, I'm showing up and I can barely hear it. It shows up sometimes afterwards though, pops up. And that's the nature of it. That's how toxic shame is. That's how toxic shame is. It really gets under your skin. And I suppose regardless of which culture you grew up in, it has the same effect on us, and it makes us engineer smallness, and that's just awful, right? But let's end on a high note. The freedom that you get when you just show up, even if you're nervous or insecure, just doing what you love and showing up in the arena, because you know what, as Dr. Brené Brown says, you know, people can say what they want, but they're not in the arena. They did not show up. You have. I am, you are. So just knowing that showing up is the work. That is the work. So I've shown up, if you like. I've recorded this episode for you. I'm doing my absolute best. I'm loving being back on the podcast and creating content and really thinking about it. I'm writing my daily blog. Every morning, you know, I love my mornings. I'm a real early bird. I love my morning routine. And when I write and I plonk my ideas down, it's not so messy. I mean, if it was really messy, it would be not a great reflection on my ability, since I come from PR and communications and copywriting and everything else. So it's not too bad. I only have time to do just one draft. I don't have time to draft and draft and redraft and make perfect this daily blog that I do in the mornings before I wake up and before school and work and everything else happens. And I keep to that routine. I keep to that routine even on days off, because that's my way of showing up no matter what. That's my way of showing up. And so showing up for you, you know, getting into the arena on a daily basis. It's a daily practice. I talked about it in a episode I think I did. It was the first episode a couple of days ago, and it's called Making Space for 2021. And it's really about how you can show up on a daily basis to get to that goal, rather than just, you know, set your resolutions and before you know it, it's the end of the year and you ain't done nothing. So let me know what you think of this episode. It's so great to be back. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for subbing. And no doubt, I will be back. And really looking forward also to digging into some topics, which, again, they're like this one, not so easy to talk about unless it's kind of written, and then it just kind of comes out, and then you're like, phew, so easy. So once you start talking about something and discussing it, and actually for me, it's writing it down, it makes it much easier. So that's one way to overcome an obstacle when it's a difficult subject in order to show up, you know. So I'll be doing more of that. I'm again just wishing you a great end of 2020, going into 2021. And if you're listening to this and it's 2021, what happened? Anyway, take care. I'm Serena Hussein. This is the Life Vocabulary Podcast.